Good day, and welcome to the Hospital Server Town Hall conference call hosted by Leapfrog Group. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Suzanne Voorth. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Missy Danforth. I'm the Vice President for Healthcare Ratings at the Leapfrog Group. Thanks so much for joining us today. Just a couple housekeeping items before we get started. First, today's town hall call is a repeat of the April 22nd town hall call. So if you joined us in April, I won't be presenting any new information. The second thing is that there is dial-in information. This call is being recorded, and we're also going to have a moderated Q&A session following the presentation. So if you want audio, you will need to use the participant dial-in information. And then lastly, like always, the slides and recording will be posted on our website tomorrow. So if you visit leapfroggroup.org, you can go in the survey and CPOE materials section of our website. Under Get Help, you'll see a link to the town hall calls, and you'll be able to download both the slides and the recording from today's presentation. So let's get started. So first, I want to review some information about our continued response to COVID-19. Like last year, we've made some one-time only changes to the survey. This year, however, the changes are really focused on offering hospitals maximum flexibility as they experience varied stages of recovery from COVID-19. So the changes are not as extensive and, again, are really designed to give hospitals options in reporting to the survey this year. So we're going to talk about the submission deadline, updated reporting periods, updated scoring options for CPOE for adult and general hospitals, reduced sample sizes for some of the measures, and then also a new virtual on-site verification protocol. All of these changes that we're going to talk about today are detailed in the summary of changes document available on our website. First, the submission deadline will be extended from June 30th to July 31st, and that means that survey results will be scored and publicly reported for the first time within the first 5 days of August. The late submission deadline this year will continue to be November 30th. We are not extending the late submission deadline. All of the deadlines are available on our website, including the deadlines for top hospital and also the competitive benchmarking report. We've also made some significant changes to the reporting periods. And so due to COVID-19, we know that in many places, services that you provide at your hospitals were either disruptive or paused completely. And so we are giving hospitals who submit the survey prior to September 1st the option to use either calendar 2019 or calendar 2020 data for some of the measures. This means that in some cases, hospitals submitting a survey prior to September 1st will have the option of reusing some data that they may have already collected for last year's survey. If you have any questions about using 2019 or 2020 reporting periods, please review the additional information we have in the hard copy of the survey. And as always, you can contact the help desk. One thing I do want to point out, though, is that we are allowing hospitals to choose different 12-month reporting periods across different sections of the survey. However, within a section of the survey, you do need to use the same reporting period. That means that you could use 2019 for Section 1A, 2020 for Section 3A. However, within a section such as Section 4, where there are multiple subsections, you'll need to choose to use either 2019 for all subsections or 2020 for all subsections. So again, within sections, you have to use the same reporting period. across sections, you can choose to use different 12-month reporting periods. And again, that's designed to offer you maximum flexibility. We're also updating the reporting periods for the NQF safe practices. Safe Practice 1 and Safe Practice 9 have been updated from a 12-month reporting period to a 24-month reporting period. And Safe Practice 2, which is Culture of Safety, has been updated from a 24-month reporting period to a 36-month reporting period. And for all of those additional practice elements, we've updated it from a 12-month reporting period to a 24-month reporting period. So hopefully this will give all of you some, again, just some additional reporting options. The next change is related to CPOE and applies to adult and general hospitals only. We are including the CPOE evaluation tool in Section 2 this year for adult and general hospitals. However, we are making two options available for hospitals to achieve the standards. The first option, which was used in 2020, uses implementation status only. The second option, which was used in 2019 and in previous years, includes both implementation status and results from the CPOE evaluation tool. One thing to note is that hospitals that choose to take the CPOE test will have their score from the test included in their overall CPOE score, regardless of the score and without exception. And so that means once you start a time test, you're committed to the score of that test without any option to remove that test score in the future. We are also reducing the sample sizes for some of the measures on the survey that require manual data abstraction and or sampling. And so for early elective deliveries, cesarean births, bilirubin screening, and DVT prophylaxis within the maternity care section of the survey, the sample sizes were then reduced from 60 cases to only 30 cases. And then the medication safety for outpatient procedures measure in Section 10 of the survey has also been reduced from 60 cases to 30 cases. So again, just trying to reduce the burden a little bit for those measures where we know you're doing retrospective manual data collection. And then lastly, we are moving to virtual on-site data verification. We suspended on-site data verification last year. This year we're moving to a virtual model, and we will be contacting hospitals who have been selected prior to June 1st. By moving to virtual verification, we've had to make several updates to the protocol. And again, we will be notifying those hospitals prior to June 1st. So now let's jump right into the survey itself. So as many of you know, beginning in August and September, we meet with our internal team and our external national expert panel to set goals, review the latest measures, review changes to measure endorsement status, consider member and hospital recommendations from the previous year, and start planning for the upcoming survey cycle. In November, we publish proposed changes to the survey with a 30-day public comment period. And this year, we received a significant number of comments, over 150. Many of those comments went into refinements to the survey, most notably in Section 1B, the new billing ethics and monitoring health equity sections of the survey, also related to hand hygiene. So thank you all who submitted who submitted public comments this year. In January, we initiated a pilot test of the survey where hospitals and health systems selected for the pilot test receive a hard copy of the survey and track changes, along with a copy of the scoring algorithms, so they can provide feedback, comments, questions, and concerns. The combined feedback from the public comment period and the pilot test are used to finalize the survey, which gets programmed into the online survey tool in February and March, and then the survey always launches on April 1st. Our goals for this survey this year, just like in past years, is to expand the survey to more hospitals by including measures that are relevant to rural and urban hospitals as well as pediatric hospitals. We do continue to monitor reporting burden and align with national performance measurement initiatives such as the CDC, CMS, the Joint Commission, and national registries to keep the reporting burden down as low as possible. We continue to include cutting-edge measures to improve safety, quality, and efficiency, and we strive to maintain consistent measurement structure so that hospitals can actually use their publicly reported survey results for benchmarking and improvement purposes. And we work to ensure that the survey results themselves, once they're published, are used, so put into action by employers, purchasers, payers, and value-based payment programs, and other initiatives. This year, the survey includes 10 sections, including a profile section where you can provide us contact information. Section 1 focuses on basic hospital information like number of licensed and staffed beds and number of admissions. Section 2 focuses on the use of computerized prescriber order entry for inpatient medications. And as I mentioned, the CPOE test is included this year, but optional. Section 3 focuses on adult and pediatric complex surgeries. These are those high-risk surgeries where we've developed hospital and minimum hospital and surgeon volume standards. Section 4 is maternity care. Section 5 is ICU physician staffing. Section 6 is patient safety practices. Section 7 is managing serious errors. Section 8 is medication safety. Section 9 is pediatric care, and Section 10 is outpatient procedures. And as a reminder, all 10 of these sections are scored and publicly reported this year. The hard copy of the survey and the online survey tool are organized in a very similar way. In the hard copy of the survey, every section begins with general information, which is followed then by reporting periods, survey questions, which often include endnotes, the affirmation of accuracy, and the reference information. Please remember, if you're working with others within your hospital, to complete various sections of the survey. In addition to the survey questions, make sure they have access to the reference information and any additional tools that are available on our website. So, for example, in Section 8B, medication reconciliation, in addition to the questions and measure specifications, anyone helping you collect those data should also have access to the MedRec worksheet, MedRec workbook, PDF on how to take a medication history, and the flowchart, which describes how to identify discrepancies between the gold standard medication history and admission and discharge orders. All of those documents are available on our website and linked from the hard copy of the survey, but you will want to make sure that, again, folks helping you have access to all the information they need to answer the questions completely and accurately. The submission deadline, as I mentioned, has been extended to July 31st, and results will be publicly reported within the first 5 days of August. Hospitals that don't submit a survey by July 31st will be publicly reported for all measures that decline to respond. June 30th is the late submission deadline. This means that no new surveys, no new sections of the survey, and no CPOE test can be submitted after this date. In addition, updates made to reflect a change of performance can also not be submitted after this date. If you make an update in December that reflects a change in performance, it will not be scored or publicly reported. So please do pay close attention to the deadlines. January 31st is the corrections deadline. So any corrections that need to be made to previously submitted sections of the survey, and this would include data entry errors or data reporting errors, you have from December 1st to January 31st to submit those corrections. The survey tool will go offline for the year on January 31st. More information about NHSN group deadline and NHSN data pull dates are available on our website. As a reminder, we have several protocols in place to ensure the accuracy of the survey responses that you all submit via the online survey tool. Every section of the survey must be affirmed by the CEO or a delegate of the CEO before it can be submitted. We have warnings built into the online survey tool. We do an extensive monthly data verification. We do monthly documentation requests. And as I mentioned, we will be doing virtual verification this year. More information about all of these protocols are available on our website. Now let's move on and talk about some key updates for 2021. The first two updates are general. First, related to public reporting. Hospitals will not be able to maintain previous year survey results this year. That means that hospitals that don't submit a survey by July 31st will be publicly reported as declined to respond for all of the measures. In addition, no hospital will be scored or publicly reported as not available for any measure. Sections of the survey that are skipped or not submitted by the published deadlines will be scored and publicly reported as declined to respond. All of this information is available on our website, as I've described, and also in the hard copy of the survey. As a reminder, results from both the hospital and ambulatory surgical center surveys are published on our new website, ratings.leapfrog.org. The next general update is related to data accuracy. As many of you know, Leapfrog does an extensive monthly data verification where we categorize every response that you submit via the online survey tool as an A, B, or C response. A category C response is plausible, falls within normal data quality thresholds, and we don't provide any follow-up on those responses. Category B responses, however, maybe fall slightly outside of our normal quality thresholds. We'll often send you an email to ask you to take a look at the questions and measure specifications again to ensure that these category B responses are accurate. However, category A responses are deemed to be implausible by Leapfrog, so they are inconsistent responses between sections or within a section and not plausible. If you get a category A data verification message from Leapfrog, you need to contact our help desk the same month that you receive the message. Once you contact the help desk, we will help you to either document that the original response was correct or, most often, correct the data entry or reporting error. If you do not do this, the score for that measure will be publicly reported as pending data pending Leapfrog verification the following month. So say you submit your survey on July 31st. If we sent you a Category A data review message or data verification message in the first 5 days of August, you need to contact us that month to get working on making a correction. Otherwise, within the first 5 days of September, your score for that measure is going to be updated pending Leapfrog verification. If at the end of the survey cycle, so if on January 31st, your hospital has any unresolved Category A messages, meaning you never contacted the help desk, you never resolved the issue, we are going to decertify your entire survey. So not just that measure, not just that subsection or section, but the entire survey, which means that all of your survey results will be updated in February to decline to respond. We are doing this because Leapfrog survey results are increasingly being used not only in accountability programs administered by other national organizations, such as health plans, but also pay-for-performance programs. Those who are committed to using our survey results in meaningful ways want to ensure that the data is accurate and high quality. And so this is additional step we're taking to give them those assurances this year. And this is described again in the hard copy of the survey and also on our website. In addition, we're making several updates to the 2021 survey in various sections of the survey. And let's start with CPOE. As I mentioned, there will be two options to achieve the standard this year. Hospitals entering at least 85% of their inpatient medication orders through a qualified CPOE system can achieve the standard without taking the CPOE test. Hospitals, however, who are entering between 75 and 84% of inpatient medication orders through the CPOE system, or less than 85% of the orders in general, may want to take the CPOE test in order to achieve a higher overall CPOE score. You can see that implementation status when combined with a CPOE test can result in an overall higher score than just using implementation status alone. Again, if your hospital is not already entering at least 85% of the orders through the CPOE test, through the CPOE system. We've also made some changes to the tool itself. So for those hospitals interested in taking a test, please note that this year you'll be able to access the test once you have completed and affirmed Section 2. That's a change from previous years. All you need to do this year is complete and affirm Section 2, and you'll be able to take the test. Hospitals will not be able to submit the survey, however, until they have completed and affirmed Sections 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. And so if you take the test and never actually submit the survey, obviously you're not going to get any credit for that test. Additionally, we've made some significant updates to the test itself. This is primarily due to feedback we received in 2019. We've combined the therapeutic duplication and drug interaction categories into a single category titled inappropriate drug combination. We've provided alternatives for statins and ACE inhibitors that were commonly reported by hospitals as not being in your hospital's formula, not being your hospital's formulary. We have made updates to the orders and observation sheets to eliminate confusion between the response options on the online answer forms for single dose and daily dose order checking categories. And lastly, we have included the alert fatigue category, which has been renamed excessive alerts, in the group of categories that will be used in scoring. And so please, as a reminder, remember that now this excessive alerts category will be used in scoring. It has not in the past. This is a complete list of the order checking categories that will be used in scoring this year. You can see that combined inappropriate drug combinations category and the new excessive alerts. As a reminder, and as always, if you time out or fail the deception analysis, you will need to wait 120 days before you can retake the test. We've also made some updates in 2021 to Section 3, Adult and Complex Surgery. First, we're scoring and publicly reporting two new adult procedures and one new pediatric procedure. The two adult procedures are total hip replacement and total knee replacement. And the pediatric procedure is the Norwood procedure, which is a very high-risk surgery done for patients born with a congenital heart defect. For all three of these procedures, hospitals will be scored and publicly reported based on whether or not they've met our hospital volume standard and whether or not they include our surgeon volume standard and their process for privileging surgeons. We've also made a change to the scoring algorithm for mitral valve repair and replacement. In 2020, we added some new questions related to participation in STS and also performance on the STS composite MVRR measure, which looks at both absence of mortality and absence of major morbidity. We signaled last year that we'd be using these new outcomes questions and scoring in 2021, and we are moving forward with that. So this year, there will be four criteria used for scoring mitral valve repair and replacement: hospital volume, whether or not the hospital includes our minimum surgeon volume standard in your process for privileging, participation in STS, and your actual performance on the STS outcomes measure. For each of these four criteria, hospitals can earn a certain number of points, and then the points will be summed. Hospitals earning 100 or more points will be scored as achieved the standard. Hospitals earning 75 points will be scored as considerable achievement, 50 points is some achievement and 25 is limited achievement. And what you'll see back here on this table is that there are now a couple different options to achieve the standard for mitral valve repair and replacement, as there are a couple different paths to achieving that 100 points. So hospitals who meet our minimum hospital volume standard include our surgeon volume standard in their process for privileging and participate in STS will earn 100 points and achieve the standard. Hospitals that earn 3 stars on the STS outcomes measure and participate in STS can achieve the standard. And there are several other combinations of points this year that will allow hospitals to achieve the standard. In Section 4, the biggest change to high-risk deliveries to align with the Joint Commission's decision to retire PCO3, we've also removed it from the survey. That means hospitals will only be scored this year on either volume or the Vermont Oxford Network's death or major morbidity measure. You'll see due to that change, for high-risk deliveries now, there are 4 performance categories hospitals can earn for volume, but only 3 performance categories that hospitals can earn if using that VON measure. In addition, we have a new data share agreement with VON. So similarly to NHSN, we will now be getting these data directly from the Vermont Oxford Network, and you won't have to look them up and enter them into the survey. Hospitals that want to utilize this option will need to complete a data sharing authorization form with VON by July 15th. Select the VON performance measure in Section 4F, Question 3. Provide an accurate VON transfer code in Section 4F, Question 6, and submit the survey by the deadline. Hospitals that select the VON performance measure in Question 3 but don't complete the other steps will be scored and publicly reported as declined to respond. Now let's talk about some changes to the hand hygiene measure in Section 6. We have simplified the units included in this hand hygiene measure, not because hand hygiene is not important everywhere, but as a way to make the data collection a little bit easier. So this year we have focused on these specific inpatient units, outpatient units, observation units, and emergency department units. We've also gotten rid of the rather complicated formula hospitals were being asked to use to determine the number of monthly observations they needed to have in each of these units. This year we're actually using tables that utilize either historical monthly occupancy data or historical monthly procedure or emergency department visit data. And so you can use these tables and your historic data to determine the number of hand hygiene opportunities you'll need to monitor each month in each of the units included in the standard. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback about these changes. So thank you to everyone who submitted those comments during both the public comment period and the pilot. In addition, we will be scoring and publicly reporting all 4 performance categories this year, including the bottom 2 performance categories, some achievement and limited achievement. And all 4 performance categories will be used in the safety grade starting this fall. On April 29th, we published plan changes to the fall 2021 scoring methodology for the safety grade that included updated point assignments for all 4 performance categories for the hand hygiene standard. So if you've not had a chance to look at that, please go to the safety grade website and download that information or contact the help desk and we'll send you a link. In Section 7, the biggest change is related to the reporting periods for the first 2 data downloads. As you know, CMS announced that they were excluding the first 2 quarters of 2020 from many of their performance measures. In order to align with that decision, LeapFrog is also excluding the first 2 quarters of 2020 from our NHSN calculations. So that means in July and August, we'll be downloading your NHSN data using quarterly reports. We'll then combine the quarterly reports for third and fourth quarter 2019 and third and fourth quarter 2020 to calculate a standardized infection ratio that represents 12 months or four quarters, but that excludes the first two quarters of 2020. As a reminder, in order to have infection data available for the LeapFrog Hospital Survey, you need to join our group by these join by dates, provide a valid MHSN ID in the profile section of the survey, and submit Section 7 by these deadlines. In the last two data polls, October and November, we'll go back to downloading cumulative 12-month reports, not quarterly reports, cumulative 12-month reports, and use the standardized infection ratios from those reports that have been calculated by NHSN. If you have any questions about these reporting periods, our plans to download, or if your hospital has questions or concerns because you've applied for additional ECE waivers from CMS for additional quarters, please contact our help desk and we will be happy to provide you with the best guidance. Okay, let's talk about Section 8. I do want to leave a lot of time for questions. Just as a reminder, if you're entering questions in the chat, I'm not able to see those during the presentation. So when we open the Q&A session at the end of the presentation, please make sure you get in the queue or your question won't be answered. For Section 8, medication safety, the biggest change is really to MedRec. We have increased the sample size and reporting period because we are scoring and publicly reporting the rate of unintentional medication discrepancies this year. We've been talking about and moving towards this for about the past 4 years. We have a lot of confidence now that hospitals understand how to do the data collection, and we are now moving towards scoring and public reporting the rate of medication, of unintentional medication discrepancies. So again, that means larger reporting, larger sample size, longer reporting period, but we are also now having hospitals utilize certified pharmacy technicians. These are pharmacy technicians who have earned either their American Society of Health System Pharmacists Medication Reconciliation Certification or Pharmacy Technician Certification Board's Medication History Certificate. These individuals can now interview patients and obtain that gold standard medication history. So the pharmacists and hospitals that have these certified pharmacy technicians now, the pharmacist only needs to be involved in comparing the gold standard medication histories to the admission orders and the discharge orders. The cost of these certifications is very low. I think it's a couple hundred dollars, or in one case, it might be less than $100. So if you have pharmacy techs, take a look at these programs. This is something you might want to take advantage of in the future. Hospitals that aren't able to increase their sample size this year will still be able to earn partial credit on this measure. Another thing I want to note is that this measure will also be added to VBP this year. Again, since we're moving away from this being just a structural measure to really an intermediate outcomes measure that assesses the rate of unintentional medication discrepancies, which is really a significant measure. We are now adding this to VBP this year, but it will not be added to the safety grade. For scoring, hospitals will be scored on whether or not they've done the data collection, sampled at least 30 patients, and have a rate of unintentional medication discrepancies that's lower than the 50th percentile. We'll be setting these benchmarks this year using surveys submitted by July 31st. However, as a reminder, we published historical benchmarks in the summary of changes document, and you can review those on our website if you have any questions. So make sure you're ready for 2021. Help desk has been very busy, and I want to say happily busy. It is exciting to see how many hospitals are getting started on their surveys early. If you've not yet received your security code, make sure you have one. Don't wait till the last minute. Make sure you're downloading survey materials, including the scoring algorithms, early. And as always, please do not hesitate to submit a question to our help desk. If you're new to the survey this year, as a reminder, you can reach out to our help desk to request a one-on-one survey orientation. We love doing those orientations to help prepare you for submitting a survey for the first time. We also offer a monthly survey webinar series that you can sign up for on the survey website as well, and the help desk can give you more information about that. Now, a little bit on survey results. As a reminder, once you submit a survey, you are committing to having those survey results publicly reported. Our survey results are used to educate and inform the employer members and their beneficiaries who participate with LeapFrog, but also health plans and many, many others. Our survey results website gets a lot of traffic. Our survey results are used by a lot of external organizations, and that's why, as I've mentioned, we've really tried to enhance our data accuracy efforts because increasingly organizations are becoming interested in using survey results and pay for performance. Last year, we launched a new public reporting website at ratings.leapfroggroup.org, where you can search for both hospital and ambulatory surgery center survey results. This year, starting in August, we'll be rolling out two new features, a search by procedures feature, which will allow visitors to search by outpatient and ambulatory procedures, so the same day surgeries in Section 10, and on the ASC survey. We're also going to allow people to choose and compare side-by-side up to three different facilities, including comparing hospitals and ASCs. And we're also offering a guided search for visitors who need a little bit more help finding the search results that they're looking for. The survey results are used in competitive benchmark reports. As a reminder, your CEOs will receive that free summary report if you submit your survey by July 31st, and hospitals can purchase additional, more detailed competitive benchmarking reports later in the year. A handful of survey results, so CPOE, BCMA, ICU physician staffing, the three NQF indoor safe practices, hand hygiene, and the five NHSN infections are all used in the hospital safety grade. More information about the measures used in the grade is available in the survey overview document. If you want survey results in your fall 2021 grade, you need to submit your survey by July 31st so we can include your responses in our first monthly data verification, and you can ensure that your survey results are finalized to be used in the safety grade by the August 31st data snapshot date. I'm now going to ask the operator to come back on the line and give everyone instructions, and we'll start the Q&A portion of today's webinar.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And a voice prompt on the phone line will indicate when your line is open. And that's, again, star 1 to ask a question. And we will take our first question. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is open.
Hi. Yeah, can you hear me?
I can.
When is the last date that we can submit the CPOE test if we choose to take it?
For the survey year, or if you want that score included in your safety grade too?
For the safety grade.
So for the CPOE test, you could take it up to August 31st.
Okay.
So if you're thinking about doing that, what I'd love for you to do is actually submit your survey at least by July 31st and just
right.
Take the CPOE test for August. You can totally do that. That's perfectly fine.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Great question.
Thank you. And we take our next question. Please go ahead, caller.
Yeah, hi, Joe McDaniel from ChristianaCare. Just have a question around the nursing measures for
yeah.
BSN, specifically questions 9 and 10. We have several outpatient departments. So we have a cancer center. We have some physician office buildings like pavilions that are on our campus. But we want to know when it says BSN, quote, at the hospital, are we including those cancer centers, outpatient office buildings where direct care is being provided by BSNs, or what is the definition doesn't make it clear enough for us. Can you help us out?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. For this, that percent BSN question, we just mean in your physical hospital, so in your physical building. None of those off-campus locations need to be included.
Thank you.
Yep, that's a great question.
Thank you. We take our next question. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is open.
Hi, Missy. Thanks for your presentation. Always helpful information. It's Sarah Flotten from Lehigh Valley Health Network. I have two questions for you regarding hand hygiene. First, can you clarify if units such as MRI and CAT scan are to be included?
They are not to be included.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then the second question, so we agree that hand hygiene is important, but we're wondering if you've considered reducing the burden on hospitals. We're a moderately sized health network, and we're doing over 100,000 hand hygiene observations per year, which is quite time intensive. So just wondering if you've ever considered doing like the 200 observations per unit per month, but having it being done like every 3 months. I know that you've said in the past that that 200 number gives you statistical significance.
Right.
Just wondering about that, particularly for units that have consistently high compliance.
Yeah, that's a great question, Sarah, and we've never had that question posed to us. So not doing fewer than 200, but actually reducing the, instead of monthly for the full 12 months, monthly for fewer than 12 months. Can you submit that to the help desk, Sarah?
Sure.
And put attention Katie on that ticket. And that's not a change we could make this year, but certainly your timing is perfect. We can take that to our expert panel when they meet in August.
Okay, excellent. Thanks, Missy.
Yeah.
Thank you. We take our next question. Please go ahead, caller.
Hi, this is Michelle. I have a couple of questions. Number one, I love having the option one, option two available related to the CPOE test. Moving forward, after this survey, will we still have the ability to select an option one, option two? Or is this a one-time only?
It's a one-time only. The CPOE evaluation tool is really a core piece of our standard, and we fully intend to move back to just a single option in 2022.
Okay. Okay, yep, that makes sense. And then my second question is, in Section 3A for Question 4, what is the source that LeapFrog uses to determine the surgeon volume standard for each procedure? So as we're working for opportunities to improve, our CMO is just wondering what LeapFrog uses to determine that surgeon standard.
So we use a combination of published literature and also consensus from a national expert panel. Have you submitted a ticket to the help desk?
I did submit one.
Oh, did you not get a response?
I don't think I did yet.
Oh, okay. Well, we will send you those resources. Depending on the procedure, it's either published literature and consensus from the national expert panel or just the published literature. So we can send that over. If you send it to the help desk, we'll get that information over to you today.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, great question.
Thank you. We take our next question. Please go ahead, caller.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
I just wanted to see if you do choose to not take the CPOE test and you just do the percentage of compliance, is that going to be noted in your results at all?
Yeah, that's a great question. So on our public reporting website, it will so say you're at like 90% of all inpatient medication orders entered through the CPOE system. When you go to the LeapFrog survey results website that I just showed you, that ratings.leapfroggroup.org, you'll see the four bars. Underneath that, there's a little orange drop-down that says, like, more information. It will show your percent, and then for the WESET test, it'll just say did not complete evaluation.
And because I wonder if that, I mean, we've always achieved full, and we do the test, and it would be very helpful to not do it this year, but only if that doesn't have a negative connotation. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I really don't think that it does, because I think the mostly people look at the bars, right, those cell phone bars. And also for the purposes of the safety grade, you're going to get the same amount of points, right? So if you achieve four bars through implementation or four bars through implementation in the test, it's going to be 100 points regardless. So from our perspective, we don't think that it's a public penalty not doing the test, and it's certainly not going to be a scoring penalty for the safety grade.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We take our next question. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Gilbert from Queens Hospital. Can you hear
me? Hi, Gilbert. Yes,
so I have a couple of questions. So the first question, I think it was already answered in regard to the CPOE. So if we choose option one and we score more than 85%, we will have the maximum score, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. That's good. I have a couple of questions also. For the med rec, for the med reconciliation.
Yeah.
So you said for this survey, he will be publicly reported.
Go ahead.
Yes, and then for the maximum achievement, I think you have to score 50 or 70 percentile, right?
To achieve the standard, your rate of unintentional medication discrepancies has to be lower than the 50th percentile, because this is a rate of error, lower is better.
Perfect, and they will be publicly reported.
The rate will be publicly reported, that's correct. You'll be able to know what your rate is using that.
Yes, definitely. I know that because once I use the tool, so
yes,
I can already see what my rate will be. Now for the hand hygiene, I think in regard to the tool you put, so how many hand hygiene each unit can do. But I think there is a section where they said if you cannot achieve the maximum, the hospital can do like 100 a quarter.
Yeah,
now, if
so
the hospital
not,
does 100 a quarter, do you think the hospital will get the maximum score?
No. If you look at the scoring algorithm, hospitals that are monitoring 100 hand hygiene opportunities per unit per quarter, the highest score you can achieve is considerable achievement, which is 3 out of 4 bars.
So in order to have the maximum achievement, you have at least, if you have 13 patients or higher, you have to do 200 per month, per unit.
Correct.
Okay. Let me see if I have another question, because I wrote all my questions. For the opioid, it's optional this year, and it will not be publicly reported, right?
That's correct. Yeah, there are several optional sections of the survey this year that are not scored and not publicly reported, including sections 1B, 6E, and 8C. That's correct. You can skip them. Nothing will be scored or publicly reported if you don't skip them.
Perfect. Now, let me go back to the CPOE. If you don't do the test, when you will answer the question in the survey, are you going to skip option two, or you have to click and then say no?
I don't understand your question. The questions in the survey ask
for the CPOE. For the CPOE, if you're gonna do only option one,
then just don't take the test. There's no place for you in the online survey tool to tell us if you're going.
Oh yeah, you're right. You're right. Sorry. You're right. Definitely. You're right. Okay. I think that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take our next question. Please go ahead, caller.
Hi, this is Rachel from the Central Coast Division at Dignity Health. I have a question for hand hygiene. For the units on the table, just a clarification question. So if we're talking about like telemetry as a unit, but we have multiple telemetry units, is that saying that we would need 200 in telemetry or 200 per telemetry unit?
Per unit. Are your telemetry units, like, are they all spread out or are they one area and share staff?
Yeah, they're spread out. They're different units. So that would, okay.
And as
so
they
that
get
makes it harder.
Or do you have, like, telemetry? Are they dedicated telemetry units?
I'm not sure about that. I'll ask. I'll work with our infection preventionist to
figure
those out.
Okay. I know sometimes the whole unit is telemetry versus it's like a medical unit, and then some of the patients utilize telemetry equipment, but it is per unit. The only exception would be if like two or more of the units share a staff.
Okay. Okay. And then I had just a general question on about the category. So if we were to receive the Category A data verification message, who receives that message and how do we become aware of that?
So the day that we publish your survey results, we send out the data verification messages via email to both the primary and secondary survey contact, and we CC any system contact that was provided in the profile section of the survey.
Okay.
If you're afraid you're not getting our email, you can always contact the help desk within the first 5 days of the month, ask us if they've gone out yet and or if you've received any. But again, it's the primary and secondary contact that you put in the profile, and we'll copy the system contact if you've included one.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. And then, sorry, one last question. For the NHSN measures, can you just talk a little bit more about the reporting periods? And I know that, so when we submit the survey, July 31st, we'll be using those reporting periods from July 19 through December 19 and July 20 through December 20. And then can you just talk about how it switches when it becomes cumulative and which one will be on the survey, the finalized public reported survey, and then what will be on the safety grade?
Yes. So we always download your NHSN data 4 times a year. And we mostly do this because hospitals join our group throughout the year and we don't want to leave them out. So we'll download your first set of NHSN data on July 22nd, if you join our group by July 21st, and it will be publicly reported within the first 5 days of August. That first data poll that we do in July and is published in August is make sure you log on and look at it. Then we'll do a second data poll before the safety grade, so August 23rd. It's that second data poll that we do in August that's going to be used in your fall 2021 safety grade.
Okay.
That's going to go to your August ending survey results. And then it will automatically switch in October. And then the November 30th data poll, that's going to be – or the December data poll, I apologize, the December data poll – that's going to be used for your spring 2022 safety grade.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. And sorry, one last question. Just to clarify, so for the July data poll and the August data poll, when they're split up, are you going to be summing the numerator and or number predicted and the denominator to get to calculate the SIRs? Because NHS doesn't allow
us. Yes, we're going to be summing the observed and predicted to calculate the standardized infection ratio. And I should have told you this, so thank you for reminding me. We're going to make all of those quarterly report values that we get from NHSN available to you on your hospital details page. And we'll send out an email to everyone to remind them to go to their hospital details page to see that there. So you're going to be able to replicate our standardized infection ratio calculation. We're going to give you what we downloaded quarterly. Of course, you're going to do the right thing and download it quarterly. And that way, if there's any kind of discrepancies, we can research it together.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, those were phenomenal questions. These have all been phenomenal questions today. I don't even want to end all. Let's do a couple more questions. And then, as always, if you didn't get a chance to answer your to ask your question today, you can contact the help desk. But let's do a couple more because these are all fantastic.
Thank you. We take our next question. Please go ahead, caller.
Hello. Hi, this is Esme with HC Healthcare, and I have two questions.
Yeah.
Okay, my first question is in reference to section 3A, number 4, and I'm just wanted to verify, this is my first time to submit LeapFrog survey, so I wanted to be certain that what is being asked is a yes and no question, or are we going to need to have on hand the actual volume, surgeon volume?
What you'll need to have on hand is a copy of your hospital's process for privileging the surgeons that do those surgical specialties to make sure that it includes the surgeon meeting or exceeding the drug's minimum surgeon volume standard. And if you contact the help desk, we can show you some examples of how other hospitals have included this in their process for privileging surgeons, right? So you don't need to go out and collect surgeon volume data. You will need copies of your privileging materials on hand to make sure that these volume requirements are included. Does that make sense?
Wonderful. Okay. Yes, yes. Okay, wonderful. Okay, okay. And then secondly, this is a new question that I, since I was hearing the question in regards to hand hygiene. So therefore, if we do use the option of the number of patients or opportunities, therefore, we have less than 200 opportunities per month per unit, the highest score would not be available to us.
No. So the other caller was asking about if we can't do monthly observations, we can only do quarterly observations in each unit. If you're doing monthly observations in this unit, in units where you can do fewer than 200 hand hygiene opportunities per month, you're not penalized for that, right? So if you have a low volume unit and the chart says, like, say, like a pediatric unit, a lot of pediatric units recently have done low volume based on what I hear on help desk. So say you have a pediatric medical unit and your average daily census is only 3 to 4 patients. You just need to make sure that you're doing and documenting the 45 hand hygiene opportunities per month in that unit. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. So, and that, because if we reach that 45 per that unit with low volume, with low census, then we do achieve the standard.
Yeah, right. So the difference in achieving the standard or getting considerable achievement is whether you're doing the correct number of observations on a monthly basis per unit or a quarterly basis per unit. So it's really that monthly versus quarterly distinction that earns you different credit. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question?
Yes, yes, it does. We do monthly, and of course we can. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your help.
Sure, great question.
Thank you. We take our next question. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is open.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Thank you. I have a quick question. Chapter 10, medication safety for outpatient procedures. The 30 audits for the medication, that can be done by a nurse. It doesn't have to be a pharmacist, correct?
Oh, no, that can be done by anyone. The only thing the pharmacist has to do is that MedRec one.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. Great question. All right, this will be the last question. Whoever's next, that will be the last question. Then if you didn't get a chance, please contact the help desk. And again, the slides and the recording won't be ready for tomorrow. And we'll take the last question.
Thank you. We take our last question. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is open. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is open. You might be muted.
Yes. Hello, Missy. Mario Lopez from San Antonio Regional Hospital. When LeapFrog pulls the data from NHSN, which CERT do you use? Is it just the CMS, sir, or the hospital-wide, sir?
CMS, which is the implant only.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, great question. All right. Thank you, everyone. I know we went over, but the questions were so good today. Thank you, everyone, for participating. Thank you for working on your 2021 surveys. If you're new, contact the help desk, ask for an orientation call. Do not hesitate to access the technical support that we can provide. As a reminder, if you want a little bit more hands-on technical assistance, we do have that monthly webinar series. I think this month is going to be on hand hygiene. So if you join today, the first webinar you would participate in is hand hygiene. Thank you again. Have a great rest of your day. Stay safe, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.